conference coordinator. I'd like to inform you the call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Ma'am, you may begin.
Okay, thank you very much. Glenn, can you do a roll?
Yes, certainly, Avery. On the call, we have, there are apologies from Philip Shepherd, Mike Rodenbach, and I didn't hear anything from Zaid Jamil, but it is 3 o'clock in the morning for him. There are apologies from Uta Dekker, Christina Rosette.
Present.
Cyril Chua.
Present.
Tony Holmes has also said that he would try and join the call, but he's traveling, so I see he's not on the call yet. Tony Harris has sent his apologies. Greg Ruth. Mary Wong has sent her apologies. She can't be on the call. William Drake.
Is here.
Carlos Souza. I haven't heard anything from him. Adrian Kinderis.
I am here. Good morning.
Good morning. Tim Ruiz?
Here.
Stefan Van Gelder sent his apologies. He can't be on the call. Jordi Itaraguira?
Hello. Good night.
Jeff Gomes?
Here.
Edmund Chan?
Here.
Terry Davis has sent his apologies. He was delayed by something in the last minute. Avery Doria?
Here.
Olga Cavelli?
Present.
Alan Greenberg.
Here, but I may have to drop off in an hour or so.
And for staff, we have Rob Hogarth, Marika Koenig, and have I missed anybody? Perhaps some of you in an office together?
Nope, just us.
Good. So we have 15 votes, which is quorum.
Okay, thank you. The next item on the agenda is to update any statements of interest. I'll start off by updating mine. I needed to update it for two essential reasons. One is I was informed by the European community that I was not referring to them correctly when I referred to them, and that I needed to include the whole program number and grant agreement number whenever I referred to them. Second, I ceased working with Iometrics that had been listed in previous and currently have a contract with InterIsle where I'm doing some work on state and municipal network designs and related governance issues. Absolutely no involvement in any of the InterIsle contracts with ICANN. And that was the only changes. Those were the only changes in my statement of interest. I don't know if there are any questions on that. Now, does anyone else have a statement of interest to update? Okay, in which case, please remember to do so if anything changes and needs to be noted. Today's agenda has really just one thing on it. It was the meeting that I tried to schedule for the 2nd, but was told that that was a bit too soon, so we rescheduled for the 9th on the bylaw changes. And basically, we'll start out by Rob will basically give us an update on the status and where things are at and what's going on, and then basically have an open discussion on the constituency positions, various discussion if there is, and then a vote on the motion. The motion was put on the table at the last meeting, and as per, our standard constituency practice of delaying things one council meeting when a constituency asks, that has happened, and this meeting was scheduled to get this done as quickly as possible. Any questions on the agenda? Okay, in which case, Rob, if you could sort of fill us in on, where we're at on the board's, comment period, et cetera.
Certainly, thank you, and I trust that you will backfill if I leave anything out, Aubrey. Thanks. Let me sort of summarize how we concluded things in Sydney and then bring us up to where we are today. You all had 2 days' worth of discussions on the bylaw amendment proposals on Saturday and Sunday during the work sessions in Sydney, and that work, as it was concluded on Sunday, was cleaned up by Margie, and the document that you have before you on Adobe Connect, although I can't see it right now, I understand is the clean version of those amendments. Earlier in the process, Aubrey, you noted that if the council were to be reseated in time for the Seoul meeting, that things had to move relatively quickly in terms of various deadlines so that we could meet certain benchmarks going towards Seoul, and inform the board that we were looking at a July 30th action date by them so that the work on the bylaws could be completed, and as a gating function, then various other items could fall from that. Operating under that deadline assumption, which was driven by various travel guidelines and other things in terms of notifying folks prior to Seoul, the Structural Improvements Committee committed to working in the month of July and making a recommendation to the board by July 30th on the bylaw amendments and additional items, including the stakeholder group charters. In order to meet the bylaw provisions for bylaw amendments, we noted in Sydney that it was important to have a 30-day public comment period prior to the board meeting at the end of July. As a result, per the board's direction, the staff opened a public comment forum on June 30th to effectuate the beginning of that process so that the community would have an opportunity to comment on the potential bylaw amendments. That comment forum announcement in the public comment forum box incorporated three documents. One was the clean version of the amendments as drafted currently by the GNSO Council drafting team. A second document, which was a comparison document intending to compare the existing bylaws with the amendments. And then finally, a third document that the staff prepared at the request of the SIC to catch a couple of other areas that you all had not discussed but that were predicated by certain stakeholder group discussions that the SIC had during the week in Sydney. Those two additional amendment components consisted of a recognition that in a couple of cases, particularly in the contract party house, that stakeholder groups would be the structural entity as opposed to constituencies. And secondly, we needed to have some language in there incorporating the fact that, at least for a transition period, the non-commercial stakeholder group's six seats would consist of three representatives from the NCUC and an additional three seats filled by the board through some as yet to be determined process. And so that essentially comprised the package of documents that were put out for public comment. The 30-day public comment period due to expire on 29 July, and the hopes are that we'll have time by the end of that comment period to pull together and summarize anything that comes in at the last minute for the board. In the meantime, we're continuing to monitor that proceeding very closely to capture any comments that come in for two reasons. One, the Structural Improvements Committee is scheduled to meet on July 15th, and so we wanted to share with them the latest and greatest information that had come in. And secondly, because the board will be meeting at the end of July, we want to have as much stuff together as possible prior to that. To date, there is only one comment that's been filed in the bylaw amendment proceeding, that by AIM, by Philip Shepherd, and to date, no other comments have been filed there. What you also discussed and agreed to in Sydney, as you noted at the beginning of this call, Aubrey, was that the council, while recognizing that the board didn't need a formal council vote to approve or make a recommendation to change the bylaws, that it was very important for you guys to reach some accommodation or understanding as a council, and if at all possible, provide a recommendation to the board. And that's sort of the driver for this meeting. Presumably, the results of this vote will be shared in some form in the comment forum, and whether that's by your direction of the staff prepare something or whether you as chair, Avery, or Chuck as vice chair, prepare some document that reports to the community what the views of the GNSO Council are on the proposed bylaw amendments.
Yeah, what I
that I think captures everything.
Okay, thank you. What just in terms of the last one, what I would think of doing was something that was relatively flat, which is the same thing that I send to the board normally after a vote, saying here was the motion, here was the vote, here were the abstentions with their reason, period, and not go any further than that informative, and that's something that I would send to the board, to the SIC, and to the comment period if that's, you know, deemed appropriate by the council. But I would certainly send it to the SIC and the board, which is the normal process. Sending it to the comment period would be something additional, and, you know, I'll put that to the council whether that should or should not be done. Any questions for Rob on that?
Put Chuck in the queue, please.
Chuck, anyone else? Go ahead, Chuck.
Rob, on in looking at Philip's comments that he posted, I thought one of his points was particularly pertinent, and that had to do with quorum. It seems to me that a very simple amendment could take care of the quorum issue, because I think a quorum, a majority of the voting members for the full council doesn't quite work under our new structure, that it would need to be a majority of the voting members of both houses. Now, it's a real simple amendment, and is consistent, I think, with everything we've agreed to date. And I think there's another little bit of language in that same paragraph in the proposed changes that would need to be adjusted as well to accommodate the same thing. Did you guys consider that?
Not at the time that we put together the amendments. That, you know, Philip didn't submit his comments until the 7th. And, of course, we had posted the forum on the 30th of June. But, yeah, I think it makes imminent sense, and certainly it would be something that we would hope other commenters would support, and certainly something that needs to be fixed.
Well, I'm not even sure we need other – I mean, that's fine to get other commenters' support, but I'm not saying – regardless of how other commenters – what they say on this, it seems like a change that needs to be done in the bylaws to accommodate the new structure, and one that, and I wasn't trying to put staff on the spot, we missed it as well in the work we did on that.
Okay. Chuck, one of the things that we had discussed as part of this meeting was the ability to recommend amendments to what we were voting on as our recommended text. So are you suggesting that we, and basically I'd said because that committee of the whole wasn't there to accept friendly amendments, that any amendment would need to be voted on, so we wouldn't have a friendly amendment or not friendly amendment issue. Is that something that you would want to do now, or do you prefer to just leave it as a comment for the staff to fix later?
Well, I don't have any problem doing it now. I guess I'll defer to what the rest of the counselors would like to do here. It's pretty easy to amend right now, but if there's I'll defer to others if they'd rather just let that be handled in the comment period.
Okay.
I don't see it as a material it's something that has to be changed, but it's not materially different than what we have agreed to up to now, so it doesn't change the direction. It just fixes some language that we missed.
And this is Rob, if I could be in the queue.
Please, Rob.
Yeah, I was only briefly, unfortunately, in the ops team, work team meeting in Sydney. They were actually working through some quorum language at the time. I'm not quite sure how you guys wanted to handle this in view of the fact that I think the general approach of your bylaw discussions was to move a lot of this stuff into the operating rules and procedures. So two alternatives. One, you could propose some specific language that talks about or addresses Philip's concern. The other would be just to eliminate that provision and acknowledge that, you know, whatever's not in the bylaws is going to be in the operation rules.
I think I'm okay with just eliminating it. And making sure that it's in the operations procedures that will be are targeted to be finished before October.
Yeah, this is Tim.
Tim, anyone else?
And Alan.
And Alan, anyone else? Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I would. I think at this point, I think I'd prefer removing it and putting it in the procedures instead of trying to change it now. And plus, I'd just like to give it a little more thought and discussion, maybe, just to make sure we're not missing anything with that.
Okay. So that, too, would probably take an amendment before voting on this to remove it. Whether we change it now or remove it now, we would need to vote on that as an amendment. So which clause is this? Which number is this?
It's 7B under, I think it's transition article. I'm scrolling up there. Bear with me a second on that. Must be, that's a big one, huh? Well, where is that? Yeah, it's Article 10, it's Article 10, GNSO Section 3, GNSO Council 7B as in boy. It's on page 4, I believe. Whoops. Didn't want to do that.
Okay, yeah, I see.
Okay?
Okay.
Actually, it's on page 5, I guess, yeah.
So, yeah, basically, someone would have to phrase an amendment to basically move 7B to the council procedures document. Okay, I'll open it up to further discussion.
Avery, I was on the list. It's Alan.
Okay, sorry, Alan.
Yeah, I don't really have any opinion on whether we should do it now or later, but I would think if there's any references left to voting in the bylaws, then you need a statement of quorum. I don't think you can have a reference to voting without saying what quorum is for voting. I've lost track of it if there is any voting left in the bylaws, but if there is, I think ultimately there will have to be a quorum statement.
I think it's just the mention of the thresholds, right? Which
and
I'm not sure why the quorum would need to be there.
Well, that's my opinion. The lawyers will have ultimate judgment.
Right, yeah, they will fix that. But okay, well, we still need to figure out what we want to do with that BOGO. The next thing I had was basically to go through the constituencies and see if constituencies as constituencies wanted to make any statements before we went into individual discussion before calling a vote.
Aubrey, it's Christina. I actually have a question.
Certainly, Christina.
And this is really directed at Rob. I think I may have misheard you, but I thought you had referred to something that was posted in connection with the public comment posting about the transition allocation of seats for the NCSG, but I'm not seeing that anywhere. And I don't know if I'm looking at the wrong thing or if I misheard you. Can you clarify where that is?
Sure. In the public comment forum box, and I don't know if you have that up, we reference a third document that staff produced. It's a PDF link in the comment forum box. Marika has, in fact, loaded it up into Adobe Connect, I believe.
So you could even pull
that up, Marika. And that was, it highlighted that what we were aware of at the time, as Chuck just notes, Philip pointed out a third item, but there were two items that we had noted that required additional changes that you all hadn't discussed that came out of the SIC recommendations, the Structural Improvements Committee. And one of those was the fact that the provisions for the non-commercial stakeholder groups seats on the council were being changed to reflect, number one, the fact that there were 6 seats, but that 3 would come from the NCUC and 3 would be otherwise appointed by the board. And the Structural Improvements Committee recommendation of that was that would be a transitional element, you know, recognizing that they were trying to bring the NCSG up to speed or up to certain parameters that they were looking for, and that would be a transitional or temporary period. I think going only as far as 2 years, after which time those seats would be permanent and allocated through appropriate mechanism.
And so that would be transformed into an amendment to the transition article in the bylaws?
It would have to be definitely a change to the bylaw amendments package. I don't think we thought through completely whether that would be a transition article or in one of the other articles. I believe that Margie crafted that as section 4 of the bylaw amendments.
Olga, I think you need to be on mute. Unless you need to talk, you wanted to be in the queue. Okay, was that okay, Christina?
That is much clearer.
Thank you. So are there any constituencies as constituencies that wanted to make statements at this point? In which case, I'll open up the individual queue for people to want to discuss it before we discuss any amendments, propose any amendment text, or discuss what we've got before calling a vote on this. Queue? No discussion? In which case, any amendments being offered in regard to 7B or anything else, or do we just leave that for the staff to deal with as a response to comments before the board and 6? Chuck, you brought it up.
Let me know
if you want an amendment or you just want to leave it.
I'm probably too flexible on it. I hear the comments that have made both from Tim and from Alan. I'm comfortable with staff being able to fix this based on in response to the comments. But if the feeling of others on the, I'll go with the flow. If nobody really cares one way or the other, I suggest we just let staff. If there's sentiment by others that we should do something, whether it's delete it or amend it, I'm glad to quickly come up with a motion, but I'm not hearing anybody having strong feelings. So if not, I would say we just let staff fix it before it goes to the board for final vote.
Tim? I know you didn't put
yourself
in the queue, but...
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, great. So before calling a vote on this, any other comments? I will obviously ask Glenn to do a roll call. I see Carlos has joined us, so that gives us one more person to vote.
Hi, Aubrey.
I will ask for a roll vote. Is there any one last chance for comments before the vote starts? Okay, in which case, Glenn, could you call the roll on this?
Yes, I will, Aubrey. Philip Shepard is absent. Mike Rodenbach is absent. Zahid Jamil is absent. Uta Deke is absent. Christina Rosette.
Absent.
Cyril Chua.
Absent.
I beg your pardon?
Yes.
Tony Holmes is not here, Tony Harris is not here, and Greg Ruth is not on the call. Mary Wong is not on the call. William Drake?
Abstain.
Carlos Souza?
Hi, Len. I had just recalled and I lost a huge part of the conversation, but as I am understanding that it's possible for a counselor to abstain, so my vote will be to abstain.
Okay, I will be asking all the abstains to record their reasons for abstaining later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Adrian Kinderis? Adrian?
Are you on mute?
We finally get a good time for Adrian, and he goes to sleep on us.
Why don't we come
here.
Back?
Hello.
Hello. How do you vote?
Oh, sorry. Can I get my mute to work? I vote 4. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Tim Ruiz?
Yes.
Jordi Peraguira?
Yes.
Chuck Gomes?
Yes.
Edmund Chan?
Yes.
Avery Doria?
Yes.
Olga Cavelli?
Yes.
Thirteen votes in favor. I'm sorry, Cyril Chua voted in favor. And three abstentions, one from Carlos, one from William Drake, and one from Christina.
Okay, Christina.
And that brings us up to 16 votes for the that are on the call.
Okay, thank you. So it does pass. I'd like to ask the three abstentions to record the reasons for their abstention. So, Christina, you were the first to abstain.
Sure. I abstain because I believe it's inappropriate for there to be a vote on the bylaws until we have a resolution of the allocation of board seats 13 and 14, as well as the absence of language pertaining to the temporary transitional allocation of the seats in the NCSG.
Okay, thank you. Bill Drake, if you could indicate your reason for abstention.
Because the document is not done, and we are still trying to figure out how we view this in relationship to some of the other things that are going on in parallel that are closely linked to it.
Okay, thank you. And Carlos, could you, if you're...
I understand that the issues regarding the six NCSG seats, we had some sort of a change in circumstances that we do not have anymore the blank space as we were presented in Sydney. But in any case, there are lots of some issues that still need some discussion, and the document is still unfinished. So that's my reason to abstain in this voting today.
Okay, thank you very much.
Avery, can I get in the queue, please? Adrian Kinders.
Sure, Adrian. Go ahead.
Avery, do you have a sense of why we've had so many people not on the call? Is it to avoid the vote?
No, I don't.
Is it because
some were traveling and...
I beg your pardon?
Some were traveling, and, you know, in terms of the apologies we've got, they mostly had to do with
Avery,
traveling.
I'm sorry. Can I change my vote to no?
Who is that?
This is Cyril Chua here.
You want to change your vote to no?
Yes, after hearing the reasons.
It's been recorded, but I suppose, is there any objection to allowing Cyril to change his vote to no? Okay. So it's now 12 in favor, 3 abstained, and 1 against.
Thanks.
Okay, Adrian, I don't know if I answered your question adequately. Other than people that said they were traveling, I have no idea. We certainly had enough notice. We talked about the meeting in our last meeting, and I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I'm just sensitive to the hour. That's all, and I just hope that my request hasn't made it impossible for people to get on calls, because obviously we may need to look at things.
I don't think you should conclude that, Adrian, that had anything to do with that.
Okay, thanks, Chuck.
Okay, any other comments at this point? Because this was the only thing we had on the agenda. I scheduled a full meeting for it, just in case we had lengthy discussions. Okay, the one other thing I will ask, because I said I'd put it to the group. So normally, and this is what I always do, is, you know, I send notification to the board of a vote, and it's a very flat, here was the motion, here are the results, here are the abstentions, you know, et cetera, 16 out of so many people attend, you know, I give attendance at all. And I plan to do that as normal. Now, the other thing that Rob had mentioned was that that sort of note should also go into the comment area. Is there any discussion on doing that? Any objection to doing that?
Aubrey, do you anticipate that that statement would include the reasons for the abstention?
Yeah.
All right. No, I have
no, the reasons for abstentions are part of the vote.
All right.
So,
I think,
and I'll wait for Glenn to help me get the wording straight and, you know, such, but yeah.
I mean, I personally think it makes sense to post it, particularly since the notice of public comment indicates that the council had not yet voted on them.
Yes. And in fact, just to make sure that the wording of the abstentions is correct, I will, you know, wait for Glenn to give me a copy of that, and then we'll make sure that the wording is correct with each of the people that abstained, just so that, you know, transcription to written word doesn't leave it funny sounding. Or doesn't leave it incorrect, essentially. Funny sounding, well, I guess, would be okay. So are there any other comments on that? Is there anyone objects to sending it to the public comment? As I say, it'll be flat factual, you know. Okay. In which case, I thank those of you that made this meeting.
Aubrey?
Yes.
This is Rob. If I can still take advantage of the fact, before you adjourn, that we have a recording and that the folks are on the call still.
Yeah.
I wanted to direct everyone's attention to the fact that we also opened a public comment forum on the revised GNSO stakeholder group charters that the SIC discussed with the various charter proponents during Sydney. There haven't been any comments posted to that yet, but I did want to alert certainly members of the council to pass on or remind other members of their constituencies that comment forum is open through the 21st of July. There was also requests that I believe Roberta made to most of the groups. The chairman of the SIC asked for any feedback from them. I would alert them that the next meeting of the Structural Improvements Committee is scheduled for July 15th, and so if individual charter proponents had feedback that they wanted to share for SIC consideration, they should do so as soon as possible. One final item with respect to that is that staff has been asked by the SIC to consider drafting up some additional thoughts with respect to providing a little more specificity with respect to the bylaw principles of transparency, openness, representativeness, and fairness in the various stakeholder groups. And so we are currently working as a staff on trying to put together some thoughts on that. It's something that we've discussed with some of you in the context of the constituent charters, provisions related to membership lists, databases, providing information on decision-making that takes place at meetings and things like that. So I wanted to alert you guys to that as well. My personal thought and my recommendation was, to the extent that we as staff do develop something like that, that we post that as part of that comment forum, just that the community has the benefit of those thoughts. And I will also be alerting the appropriate work teams within the operations steering committee's purview that we're doing that as well, so that everybody gets a sense as to some of the thought processes that are going on with respect to those issues.
Okay, thank you. I'll open it up to anyone that has questions. I have one question myself,
which
is,
please.
When you put in those comments into the comment period from the staff, actually this is more a hope than a question, I'm hoping you don't do what I do, which is wait until the last minute to get it done, but actually do it early enough so other people will be able to comment on your comments.
That as I said, it's my recommendation to do so. So I hope and expect that we will do that, and the goal will be to submit those as soon as possible. The SIC asked us to consider that, and given the fact that they are meeting on the 15th, and ask for documents ahead of their meetings, I would hope that we would have something together on that early next week that we could share with everybody.
Thank you. Anyone else want to ask any questions or make any comments?
I think Chuck's in.
That was Chuck, was it?
Yes.
Please.
Rob, the registry constituency is in the process of revising our proposed charter to accommodate the SIC recommendations. And so our target date is to have that done and approved by the 22nd of July. Sorry, it's after the SIC meeting. But my question for you is should we obviously we'll submit that to the SIC, but should we also post that on the comment site, or do you have an opinion on that?
My opinion is that it's always more helpful to post things in the spirit of transparency. And so if in fact you guys seem that you'll be sticking to that date, I'd work with the web admin team to keep open that forum for an extra day. You may also want to consider just asking David to drop a little note into the public comment forum, just sharing what you just did, that you guys are working on that, and, you know, any brief comments you want to make as to whether, you know, how brilliant or not brilliant you think the recommendations were in terms of your guys making adjustments to your charter.
I will let David know.
Thanks.
Now, do you think should we request extension of the comment period to accommodate that, or just make the comment that something is coming?
If he's writing that and does go to the step of filing comments, it would be helpful to officially ask for it. I don't think it'd be something that the board or the SIC would act on immediately, but just as a general, now since we're all talking about it and recording this, that's something that we would do to keep it open a little bit later.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions?
Yeah, Rob, this is Bill. Just in terms of being able to take points on from the public comment period, we already had a process in NCUC in which 50 organizations agreed to something, and then dozens of other people came in on the public comment period and said that they agreed with what we wanted to do and disagreed with the other model. And what we proposed and what they endorsed was disregarded, and so now we have the other model. Do we really have to go back and ask everybody to kind of refile the same complaints over, or can you not just make your synthesis taking on board what we've already said? I mean, everybody's already responded to the model you've given us.
That's a very good point, Bill. I mean, I think the SIC asked us to repost these comments because they reflected the work and recommendations of the SIC. One strategy for approaching that would be for a representative of that group to say, we note essentially what you just noted, and saying, please, you know, consider our comments in the previous proceeding. My personal sense, again, is in terms of process and trying to keep things clear and open to folks, if, you know, somebody from outside the organization or somebody not familiar with this process comes along and only looks at this proceeding, I'd like to, you know, have some comment there that acknowledges that they should check someplace else.
I recognize the complexity of that, but you can also appreciate that for us to go back to everybody who wrote in support of what we agreed previously that was disregarded and say, please resubmit your comments again, it's kind of a silly exercise.
I agree. I was thinking about something a little bit cleaner than that, but I appreciate the complication of that. You can't represent that all the people who submitted comments in a previous forum would repeat them. So maybe we can talk offline about a way that might be handled more cleanly.
Okay. I think they would repeat them, but anyway, the point is they don't want to go through the work, so that's...
Sure. No, I understand.
Any other comments or questions? In which case, I once again thank you all for participation in this meeting, and I'll talk to you again in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.